This is Jody Peterson with the KVNF Regional Newscast. Coming up, Gavin Dahl speaks with High Country News Executive Director and Publisher Greg Hanscom about the Paonia-based magazine's 50th anniversary kicking off this week and how the staffing model has changed over the years to provide more diverse coverage of the West. Plus, a new report from the Interior Department's watchdog says the acting director of the Bureau of Land Management misled Congress about the controversial relocation of the agency's headquarters to Grand Junction. Governor Jared Polis announced on Wednesday that Colorado is launching several new efforts to get more families connected to high-speed internet during the coronavirus pandemic. KVNF's Capital Coverage reporter Scott Franz has more.
About 65,000 students in Colorado still do not have access to the internet at home, which is keeping them from learning remotely. Polis says the state will spend $2 million of federal aid to get more of them connected. He also announced a new T-Mobile program offering free Wi-Fi hotspots to low-income families.
That learning at home component is really more important than ever before. And of course, in school districts where kids are back in school, there are still some families that aren't ready for their kid to return.
Polis says a lack of broadband access is affecting students in both urban and rural districts. In towns like Norwood on the West Slope, some students have had to drive more than an hour during the pandemic to get connected. I'm Scott Franz in Denver.
A new report from the Interior Department's watchdog says top officials misled Congress last year. The investigation was looking into the agency's controversial relocation of the Bureau of Land Management headquarters out west. The Mountain West News Bureau's Maggie Mullen reports.
BLM Acting Director William Perry Penley told Congress that the agency would be unable to stay in its former D.C. office space because the cost would be too high. The report, however, found those claims to be misleading. Randy Spivak is with the conservation group Center for Biological Diversity.
Surprising was just the lengths this administration would go to deliberately mislead Congress and the public.
In a statement, Interior Secretary Bernhardt's chief of staff said, quote, "It is clear that some politicians weaponized the BLM's relocation. Their conduct is intimately tied to the creation of this report," unquote. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Maggie Mullen.
High Country News, the nonprofit news magazine headquartered in Paonia, is kicking off its 50th anniversary this week. Founded in Lander, Wyoming in 1970, the publication relocated to Paonia in 1983. High Country News became well known for its deep dives into the stories of the West's complex environmental and natural resource issues and its diverse communities and cultures. The latest leader of High Country News is Executive Director and Publisher Greg Hanscom. KVNF's Gavin Dahl spoke with Hanscom recently. Gavin started by asking Greg about the evolution of the magazine's staff model to include a broader range of perspectives across the West, including more Native voices.
You know, for years we were really based in Paonia, and almost the entire staff was there in town. In the last 5 years, we have dispersed, especially our editorial staff, is now scattered all over the Western United States from I'm in Seattle. We've got a staffer in Portland. We've got somebody in Norman, Oklahoma. We've got a little team in Tucson, somebody in Moscow, Idaho. And the shift has really allowed us to better cover this region. We cover 1 million square miles. It's a big old beat for us. And this helps us put feet on the ground and reporters out on the streets to cover stories that are happening in real time. It has also been a really important move for us in terms of being able to attract and hang on to a much more diverse staff. So we have, I think if you look at our editorial staff today, it's far more racially diverse in particular than it ever was when we were purely based in Paonia. And that includes an Indigenous Affairs desk, which is, to my knowledge, the only one of its kind for a non-Indigenous publication. It's staffed largely by Indigenous journalists, and we're able to provide some really unique insights into Indian country, into many tribal nations that are scattered around the Western United States. I think it's really kind of cracked open High Country News and the story of the West. You know, you can't understand this region if you don't understand the diverse communities here. And this place is only getting more and more diverse as we go. So it's been a really important transition for us.
In your own career, you've led and participated in some successful collaborations. Lately, HCN has continued to innovate with the Wildish podcast and other projects, it seems like you are determined not to exist in a silo.
Absolutely. You know, I think that the print magazine continues to be kind of our core product, right? This is our most powerful connection to our core audience, you know, the people who provide 3/4 of the revenue for this organization. So we still put a lot of love and a lot of care into this print magazine. But more and more, when we look at opportunities for growth and expansion, a lot of that is digital. A lot of that is on the web. And a lot of that is through collaborations with other media organizations as well. I think that the days when news organizations looked at each other with great suspicion as kind of the evil competitor are long gone. I think at this point, you know, local news in particular has taken a massive hit in the last couple of decades. And I think we all realize that we need each other right now. And I think we all realize that we're stronger together. So if we can help other news organizations around the region, we are anxious to do that. You know, if we can provide stories, share sources, even help with the business model, we're happy to do that. You know, HCN's survived and thrived for 50 years, and we've learned some things over that time. And we're always happy to share the lessons we've learned.
Briefly, what's your vision for the future of High Country News over the next 5 decades?
Yeah, so I think High Country News is really about more than just the High Country now. I think we continue to cover the Intermountain and the Rocky Mountain West and the public lands and Western water and wildlife. You know, those are the stories that HCN has built its name on over the years. But we also expand to reach the coasts, and we're doing a lot more coverage of urban areas, and we're doing a lot more coverage of the borderlands, and helping people understand how the Western United States as a whole functions and how it all fits together. Back in the day, HCN largely ignored cities. We figured that cities had their own news outlets. They were pretty well taken care of. I think what we've learned over the years is that you can't understand the West without understanding rural areas and the public lands. You also can't understand the West without understanding cities, urban areas, and this young generation that is coming up right now and is going to turn everything on its head. So I think it's a much more expansive, a much more inclusive vision for High Country News, perhaps than what we were able to do in the past when we were purely based in Peonia. But we're not going to lose track of our roots, and we're not going to lose track of that connection we have to the Western Slope and the North Fork.
Greg Hanscom is executive director and publisher of High Country News, kicking off their 50th anniversary. Thanks so much for speaking with me.
Hey, thank you for having me.
And that does it for the KVNF Regional Newscast. I'm Jody Peterson. Thanks for listening.